2 Chronicles 36, I want to talk a little bit about Jehoiakim. Well, verse 5, he was 25 when he began to reign, and he did that which was evil in the eyes of Yahweh, his God. And Jeremiah has got a lot to say about the sins of Jehoiakim. He burnt the scroll of God's words when it was given to him and read to him. He just cut it up and burnt it, persecuted Jeremiah. He murdered the prophet Urijah, who spoke against him. You read about that in Jeremiah 26. And in Jeremiah 22, there's another example of his sins, that he built a very opulent home for himself and refused to pay the laborers for their work. So, these kind of sins, I mean, I think I'd have focused on the sin of burning the scroll, which had God's words on it. But all these sins are sort of put in the same category, as it were. It's rather like when Paul starts writing to the Corinthians. I mean, I would have started off with them saying, look, guys, you're getting drunk on the wine at the breaking of bread, and you don't even believe in the resurrection. That's awful. Now, look, get a grip, will you? Can't you see that that is wrong? But the first thing that Paul hits them with in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians is not any of that. He waits till chapters 11 and 15 to hit them on those things towards the end of the letter. The first thing he hits them on is you're divided. You're all split up into little factions in the church, and this is wrong. He sees division in the same category, in fact, if not worse, as what we would consider to be more major sin. And it's the same with Jehoiakim in Jeremiah. His building of an opulent home for himself and not paying his laborers as he should have done is pretty much in the same category as murdering Urijah the prophet, burning the scroll of God's words, and persecuting Jeremiah. And it just shows that our human sense of sin, what is sin, is so broken. I have this sort of theory, and I think it's underpinned by passages like this, that what we may consider to be terrible sins, God may not actually view quite in that way. And yet what we think is quite normal and just, well, what everybody does, and we may shrug our shoulders at some of the things we do and say, yeah, well, I'll do far worse than that. I'll just have to cut myself a bit of slack on that one. That sort of thing may be really abhorrent to God. And so the whole point of Bible reading, reflection, prayer, thinking about these things is that I think you come to see life, sin, righteousness, behavior, character, you come to see these things from God's point of view. And what is critical to God is not so much the deeds, but the actions. See verse 8, now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, are written in the book of the Kings. So what he did, his acts, his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, are written in the book of the Kings. So it's like it's saying, yeah, his actions and his heart, that which God found within him. And so often you see this dual judgment, or dual, shall we say, assessment of the kings. Jehoshaphat is probably the clearest one, where God gets very angry with him when he goes to fight at Ramoth-Gilead together with Ahab, when God has told him, do not go. And he's very nearly killed. And when he gets back to Jerusalem, the prophet comes to him and says, the wrath of Yahweh is kindled against you for what you did. But you will be saved because good things were found in you, in that you prepared to seek God in your heart. And you see this with so many of the kings. There is this dual assessment, actions and what's in the heart. And it is what's in the heart that clearly trumps the actions. Now, we can take comfort from that when you look at your own failings at times. I'm not saying don't beat yourself up about sin, but on the other hand, it is what is in your heart. It is your core heart position that is significant to God. And likewise, when inevitably you have to make some sort of decision, whilst not judging in the ultimate sense, about people who mess up within the body of believers, within the church, People can do quite spectacularly bad things, and yet in their heart, absolutely be with God. And what's God interested in? The heart. And can you judge what's in human hearts? No, you can't. You absolutely can't. And when you see, as I say, how God judges David, I mean, there's really a lot of bad stuff there. And I don't mean Uriah and Bathsheba, I mean, it was that was bad, but he did a lot of other bad things, you know. He just shed people's blood like, you know, like they weren't even animals. He had an absolutely conscienceless approach to murder. He just didn't seem to think anything about the value or the meaning of the human person. He really did mess up, you know, I think, in quite a few ways, apart from Uriah and Bathsheba. And yet, clearly in his heart, he was with God, and God accepts him. And so, as I say, that verse 8 to me is so significant, that the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him. So, dual assessment. Actions and what was found in your heart. And looking at the other kings, it was what was found in their hearts, which is the basis upon which God judges them. That's why there are some pretty surprising judgments on some of those kings. The record starts and finishes of their little like biography with the record that this person served God with their heart, as if they're okay in the final analysis. But you read their lives, I mean, there's a lot of mess-ups and a lot of failure in their actions. But God looks upon the heart. Now, this does not mean that you can just get on with a sinful life and shrug and say, oh, yeah, in my heart I'm with the Lord. But by the same token, there is such a thing, I do think, as surface-level sin, and it is not for us to, therefore, think we can categorize certain actions as surface-level sin. But I think that God does. Now, we do not know the final algorithm of divine judgment. But what we are being told repeatedly in a chapter like this and all the way through is that it's what's found in your heart that is so significant. And so the question is, where is your heart? Where are you? Who are you? What are you thinking about when nobody is looking? This is the essence of spirituality. What do you think about when you first wake up and you go to bed at night? How do you think when you're in the course of daily life? That's why I'm against listening to the radio all the time, listening to dumb words and dumb music, and filling your mind with what's on telly or, you know, what movies that you're watching or whatever. Fill your mind with spiritual things, because it is garbage in, garbage out. And the ultimate question is, where is your heart?